This podcast contains explicit content and polarizing opinions. Listen discretion is advised. You have been warned.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to Dead Behind the Eyes. You are listening to the weekly news roundup that I think we're going to go working title of the broadsheet. Why not, eh? In this episode, we'll be talking Donald Trump, Britain's lockdown, spending that shouldn't be spent, and a few parrots that maybe have been a bit naughty and one that hasn't. So stick around and enjoy the episode. Right, so hello again, everyone. Sorry that this one's come out a bit late. I know it's supposed to come out on a Monday. Had a few technical issues, some logistics that sort of fell through, have to re-record. But that does mean that I can talk about something new that came out yesterday that I got. Now, I'm not talking about the Xbox. I'm not getting the Xbox. I will be getting the PS5 whenever it seems like they become available. But Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I will talk about that later on in the episode because it's actually quite good. But first, I think we should talk about the biggest news of last week. It's got to be Trump losing to Biden, throwing a hissy fit, not taking no for an answer. So Joe Biden won the US election. He got the 270 votes that he needed. And now we've got Biden will be sworn into office on the 20th of January. So we have got like a couple of months. Yeah. 2 months, 10 days of Donald Trump throwing the biggest temper tantrum that I think you would have ever seen by an OAP, because that's what he is, let's be fair. Biden might be older, but he's definitely more sprightly than that what's it looking person. We'll leave it a person. Now, we've had a few news reports come out, a lot of them talking about how they're actually quite scared of Donald Trump still being in, because he's probably going to try and squash the election. That shouldn't happen. But at the same time, he's going to use his last bit of time in office to get what he wants. Now, one of the big things that's come out is he's got a few people looking into his financial dealings. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office has been investigating Trump with his financial problems. And they think they found possible criminal bank and insurance fraud, which means he could go to prison. But of course, they haven't been able to take action while he's in office, because at the moment he's got Bill Barr, the Attorney General, who critics have accused of acting like Trump's personal lawyer. But that does mean he's only got a really short window to prepare for any sort of legal consequences that may come his way. But that does mean that they think he's going to pardon himself. Now, this comes from a veteran intelligence analyst called Malcolm Nance, and he said, quote, he'll pardon himself. Absolutely no question about that. He expects the Supreme Court to cover him. He has always fixed things in his life, and he now believes he owns the American judicial system. I do think that maybe Trump thinks that everyone does owe him something. I think that's probably fair to say. I mean, and he obviously isn't going to do anything good while he's in the rest of the office, because on Wednesday he exited the Paris Climate Agreement because it seems like climate change is a big joke to him. I mean, it would be a big joke when you're going to die in the next couple of years and leave it for everyone else. I suppose the joke's on everyone else, because it ain't on him, is it? And there's also been hints that he will attempt to fire Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the nation's leading expert in infectious diseases. On Sunday, he fired the defense secretary and put in the head of counterterrorism to be his replacement. So he's making waves. He ain't making ripples, he's making waves in these last days, and he doesn't care. I mean, when it come out that he had lost, he just pissed off to a golf course. I think it's hard to have a impartial view on Donald Trump when you're from across the pond, because media likes to attack people. When is the last time you've actually watched the news and had good news given to you? So it seems like in the news, all we get is Trump's bad press. I don't know if he has good press. I don't really care if he has good press, because the bad press that he has is definitely going to outweigh all his good press, isn't it? So I think the man's a clown and a goon, and I think for a old man, he needs to grow up. Now, will he step down? No matter what happens, he's going to be forced to. Let's be fair. No matter what happens, he's going to be forced to step down. If he doesn't step down, then you're going to see a civil war break out in the country. I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? The problem is that most of the Trump supporters are right-wing. So they're the ones with the hordes of this, that, and the other. And Biden supporters are very left-wing. They're pacifists. And I think in these couple of months, he is going to just try and bring the country to its knees. Because, like I said earlier, he's lost and he's throwing the most almighty temper tantrum that I think US politics is ever going to have seen. Now, to him possibly going to prison, I mean, it's not going to happen, is it? And even if something does happen, it's not going to be to the extent that we want it. I mean, just look back at Jeffrey Epstein when he had his first allegations that there was solid proof and he somewhat admitted to. All he was given was basically a slap on the wrist and given house arrest. And that house arrest was nothing because he was able to do whatever he wanted just as long as he got in by a curfew, which he flaunted many times. I think I might cover the whole Jeffrey Epstein in maybe a Friday episode later down the line, because it is just mental if anyone's watched the Netflix series. If he does go to prison, nobody's going to want his little cheesy what's-it, are they? Now, moving closer to home, we have the UK lockdown is still going ahead, of course. It was going on till the 2nd of December. Or maybe not, with the news that old Richie Sunak, who is the money man, he's extended the furlough scheme until March. And a furlough scheme is where the government will cover a certain percentage of people's wages if they can't work due to the COVID-19. So at the moment, until March, it's going to be 80% of people's wages will be paid by the government. Now, if there's going to be a furlough scheme until March and lockdown ends on the 2nd of December, the maths don't add up, do they? They don't add up at all. We're definitely going to be going into a further lockdown, probably after Christmas, because what you've seen, especially, I think it came out today, maybe yesterday, that the government has said that university students can go home for Christmas. So when the lockdown ends on the 2nd, they will have a 7-day period where they can do all their journeys. If they're not done by that, then apparently they can't go home. But who's gonna police those millions of students going home after that time? Like, don't be ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous that you've got this lockdown, right? Christmas is 25th of December, ends on the 2nd, end universities on the 2nd, make them quarantine for 14 days, then fuck them off home. I mean, how's that? It means that everyone will be home by the 16th of December and they shouldn't have COVID because they've self-quarantined themselves. But no, as usual, the government needs to fuck everything up because they don't know what they're doing. I mean, no one knows what's going to be happening for actual Christmas, though, do they? Will the lockdown end and everyone can go back to like a rule of six so people can go and see their family around Christmas, their family and friends? Because even if they don't let it happen, it's going to happen. I mean, I know people that have said that I don't care what the government say, I'll take the fine. I'm not having Christmas without my family. And I think it's completely fair. You can't expect people. How many people have not had birthdays, not had weddings, not had funerals because of COVID? And now you expect them not to have Christmas? There's a line. And at some point, people just don't care anymore. They need to carry on doing their life. And I'm not saying that it's what should happen. I think the government need to be aware of it and they need to allow for it. Now, talking of the UK government giving out money, it seems like they are investing in something which is necessary and not necessary at the same time. I mean, we're not allowed to go out and buy non-essentials. And at the moment, I think this is a non-essential. It is that robot soldiers could make up a quarter of British Army by the 2030s. Now, this is a news report that has come out, and the head of the armed forces has said that 30,000 robot soldiers could be an integral part of the British Army in the 2030s, working alongside in and around the front line. This comes after the Army been looking for other options, seeing that they've struggled with recruitment for the last 7 years, and the current number of trained troops is 73,870. The target they were looking for was 82,050. Now, first of all, I don't even know why there's a 50. What is the 50 about? Just 82,000. Nice round number. Lovely. Everyone's happy. Why 50? Seems very strange. They've been expected to cut that down to the target of 75,000. They did get rid of the 50. With wanting to use technology to plug gaps, the whole of the British Armed Forces have been engaged in research projects with small drones for a while now, including like remotely powered land and underwater vehicles. Some are armed, and some are just reconnaissance drones. Now, there's a campaign that is led by Stop Killer Robots. I love that that's a campaign. And the MOD have said that it's going to have a policy that only human beings will be able to fire weapons. All of this just seems like the background plot of the Terminator, really, doesn't it? Because they have a technology under development right now called the I-9 drone. Now, this is a drone which is powered by 6 rotors and carries 2 shotguns. It is remotely operated by a person, but this is a mad drone. I mean, they want to use it to storm buildings and basically just be used in urban for warfare. And that's what the Ministry of Defence say generates the highest casualties. It's fair, because there's a lot of ambush points and you can't control every bit. But are robot soldiers really better than real soldiers? I mean, of course, they're better in a way that it means that real people don't die. Or real people don't die that are controlling it, I should say. Because that's the other thing, is will it cause more unnecessary killings because it's done behind a screen? Will they fire and ask questions later? Because they haven't got that, I can see them, you know? There's a thing that goes off in your brain where you eye to eye with someone, you can either kill them or you can't kill them. When it's behind a screen with a drone, does it just become like a video game? Another big thing that I personally think is there has been increasing reports of the drone pilots, the ones that use the unmanned, basically like plane drones, suffering heavily with PTSD later on. And I think the armed forces seem to have the morals of, once they're damaged goods, we're fuck them off and they can deal with that themselves. I know it's a very naive way of looking at it, and there's a hell of a lot of things to help troops combat certain problems. But these reports of PTSD are not happening while they're still in the armed services. This is when they go home. And then they have to go through civilian mental health things. And that's be fair. A shrink at a doctor's surgery shouldn't be dealing with somebody who has killed people through a screen. That is not something that they should be having to deal with. That is up to trained professionals. Shrinks within the armed forces. And I think the Ministry of Defence needs a better mental health system to counter this. But moving on to maybe some more light-hearted news. This is a news report that has been out for a while, and this comes from a zoo in Lincolnshire that have had a few parrots get a little sweary. They have been swearing at the zookeepers, calling them twats, telling them to fuck off. Now, I think this is amazing. And there's actually one of the zookeepers, I don't know if he's a boss or not, he has been quoted as saying, "When a parrot tells you to fuck off, it amuses people very highly." Yeah, I should think it does, because it would me. Now, the parrots in question are called Billy, Eric, Tyson, Jade, and Elsie. And they have had to been split up because they keep egging each other on to swear at people. Just leave them. Put them in their own cage. Put them in an area which is 18+, and just let them swear away. Because I know I definitely pay to go to Lincolnshire Zoo and listen to parrots swearing at me and other people. They joined the Wildlife Centre's colony of 200 grey parrots in August. And yeah, like I said, they've had to be separated after encouraging each other to swear at a Lincolnshire Zoo. I mean, if that don't make you happier, I don't know what. Now, another parrot story comes from Australia. Another parrot called Eric has been reported of saving his owner. Now, I don't think that's the case. I think the news has consciously put a human thought onto an animal, and that parrot couldn't have given a fuck about Anton, his owner. And this is the report. Eric the parrot alerted his owner about the fire at his home in Brisbane even before the smoke detectors did. The man's house in Brisbane, Australia, was well alight when firefighters arrived just after 2 a.m, but Anton had escaped without injury. Anton said his pet parrot named Eric had woken him up before the smoke detectors raised the alarm. Now, I don't think the parrot definitely did wake him up before the smoke detectors did, but the way the news article says the pet parrot saves man. Well, by the sounds of it, the smoke detectors were going to go off, so he would have woken up anyway. And that parrot wasn't going, "Oi, Anton, wake the fuck up, there's a fire." It was going, "Oh shit, there's a fire, I can't get out, I'm going to die." And that parrot gave a fuck about itself. If that cage was open, he weren't going to go wake Anton up, was he? He was going to get the fuck out of the house. Now, this is a story that came out, of course, because the UK's in lockdown, and it turns out that it's a hoax. Now, this came out probably the start of last week. It was a Facebook post where a man had basically said that because he couldn't go to the pub and meet up with his mates because all the pubs were shut, the only pubs that were open were in airports. So the man booked a cheap flight at Belfast International Airport, and apparently the ticket cost £9.99. Now, he had no plans on getting on that plane. What he said they were doing was booking the flight, not getting on the flight, so that means they could go to the pub inside the airport and just have a session. Now, it turns out that this was actually a spoof and fooled basically the most of the UK. But would it work, though? I don't think it would. I don't think it would work. Or maybe it did. I mean, everyone had branded him a legend, but has he now been told off? I don't know. With everyone being at home, it means that more people are ordering takeaways. And now we've got the McDonald's say they're on, I think it's Just Eat now, but of course they are on Uber Eats. Now, this is a story from Facebook again, where a man's wife posted a post about her husband, who's a picky eater, and basically what happened, the guy went on Uber Eats to order a McDonald's. He got a chicken burger, but he didn't want the salad in the chicken burger. But instead of just removing the salad, he removed everything. So he removed all the salad, the bun, the chicken. The only thing that was ticked was ketchup. Now, I would urge people to go and look up the story about the man that asked for no salad in his McDonald's and ended up just getting ketchup, because there is a picture of him holding up the box that the chicken burger would have come in, and there is just a massive splodge of ketchup. What is the best bit as well is he was still charged full price. So he paid £3 plus for the burger and £4 delivery for just what basically is, you know, the little paper cups you can fill up yourself at McDonald's. Two of them cups, I would say. Two of them cups full. I mean, that's priceless. Absolutely priceless. Well, no, it's not priceless. It costs £3 plus. Right, now let's talk about Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Of course, it came out yesterday. I got it yesterday. I had a little bit of a problem because I got it on the PC, which means you have to go through the Ubisoft Connect stuff, which I hate. Why can't I just stick it on Steam? Everyone does everything through Steam and it's easy. So I bought the game, everything went through, everything was fine. It was in my orders, but it weren't in my game library. So I decided I'll get some help, go onto the contact us bit, start a chat. I was 84th in the queue. So I gather this was a problem everyone was having. So I'm sat there, the queue's going down, it's going down. It's going down. It gets down to like 25 and it pops up in my downloads. I was like, for fuck's sake. I've been sat here all this time waiting to talk to some gimp about this game. And it's just because Ubisoft is so shit that they couldn't send a digital download straight away after purchase. How fucking hard is that? And they can't say it's because, oh, everybody was buying it so stuff was overloaded. I bought it at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. People that wanted to buy that and would have been the big boom was early in the morning, and also last night, because you could download and then it would activate at midnight. So it's just Ubisoft being shit as normal. I mean, they're as bad as EA, let's be fair. But the game is good. If people don't know the basic storyline, it is you're a Viking, you leave Norway to conquer England, and it's all about you starting to take over your part of England, really. Now, I played probably about 3 hours, and I've landed on England, and I've finished the first main objective that you have to do. For people that have played it and know what I'm talking about, they know, but I don't want to add spoilers, because people will probably play this. So I don't think I've really got into it, but I gathered the whole Assassin's Brotherhood thing is going to come in later on in the game. Because of course you've been introduced to it, but it's not really the main part of it. But what I have seen is some Roman ruins that I've looked around, and there's one bit where there's this massive circle that's got the Assassin's Creed symbol on it. So I gather that's going to turn up later on in the game, and you've got a couple of people from the Creed in your settlement with you. So I gather that's going to be something that develops more later on in the game. And I hope it does, because at the moment you're just a Viking that can do parkour, really. But yeah, I'm happy with the game. It started slow, and maybe the fighting mechanics are not as good as maybe some games are. But like, there's some older games that have some good fighting mechanics for melee fighting. And I feel this lacks a little bit, there's a lot of times where you can be fighting somebody, and just because somebody nearby is fighting too, you can just get randomly hit by their thing, but there's no way of really getting out of the way. You can go fighting with your crew, and then they can get put down and they need to be revived. The revive mechanic annoys me as well, because it takes too long to get people up off the ground. You help them up and then you sort of stand there with them for like another couple of seconds, and in that time you've been hit. And if you get hit at all while doing the revive mechanic, even if you've held the button down long enough for it to actually do it, you have to do it all over again. So, I don't know. There's definitely some things that would change. The storyline, though, I think is amazing. I think it's a very good storyline. And I'm really interested on see how the character that you play as ended up where he did. Or she, depending on which gender you've chosen. For people that haven't played the game, that will become abundantly clear of what I'm talking about there. But I gather I will definitely talk about that again next week, which will come out on Monday. I promise that it will come out on Monday, because I would have played the game more. Hopefully I would have got quite far into it, so I'll have a better review of it. Because at the minute, from what I've seen, I would give it, I'll say a 7 out of 10. It's good, but there's stuff that needs to be improved. Now, it might get improved as I level up my person. So yeah, hopefully later on in the game, I'll be able to give you a better review of what actually I think about it. And with that, I think that's probably going to cover it for this episode. I think I've been blabbering on for long enough. So I hope you enjoyed. And I hope you join me on Friday for the second installment of Star Wars, where I'll be talking about the prequels. Now, don't just not listen to it because everyone hates the prequels, because I hope this one is going to be quite interesting. Critiquing my own first episode of the Star Wars where I'd done the original trilogy, I don't think it was that good. But there you go, I'm just starting and everything will improve, hopefully. Hopefully this is improved from the last news one that I did. So, thank you for listening to Dead Behind the Eyes, the second news episode. Maybe I should call it Broadsheet Episode 2. Yeah, we'll do that. But this episode was written, it was hosted and produced by me, William. Music was by Adam Fotovsky and Darren Curtis. Check them out on YouTube and Google them, plus music, and check them out. They do some really cool royalty-free music. If you could give us a 5-star review on any platform that you're listening on, that would be hugely appreciated. It would help boost the show and get a bigger audience, which I would like to do. I'm enjoying doing this. If you want to contact us at all, you can do so at dbte.podcast@gmail.com. That's the first letters of deadbehindtheeyes.podcast@gmail.com. And join us Friday for the next episode of Dead Behind the Eyes.